Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and we're going to murder these beers.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading All Systems Red by Martha Wells, and Nate is starting with a beer.
So this book takes place in a far future where humans, like, have spaceships and have colonized planets and stuff like that. But do you think in order to do that, first they'd have to take one giant leap for mankind? This is One Giant Leap by Finback.
They need actually multiple giant leaps to get to the technology in this
couple
book.
Of them. This is
it's very far
white
away.
On yellow. Okay, One Giant Leap double IPA. Yep, that's all I'm going to be able to read on this. It is 8% alcohol. It's nice.
That can art looks like a stylized butthole.
What does that mean?
Look at it. Doesn't that look like show us the booty hole there, that 10, that 0.
Okay.
Isn't that like, oh yeah, that's how Bauhaus made it an asshole.
Yeah, I could see that. It looked like a hemorrhoid ring, you know, when you sit down on those things.
I never look at the hemorrhoid ring, except the ones that are on my face during sexy times. But anyway, Nate, you picked this book, and I'm going to tell you. Yeah, what? I'm just making sure people listen to me sometimes. Nate, you picked this book. I have questions about that later, but it starts on, it does not hold your hand. You're just like, what's happening right now? But you realize that the main character, who doesn't have a name, at least I didn't find one.
Well, he calls himself Murderbot.
Right. But then he's even mentioned other Murderbots at some point.
He calls them all Murderbots.
Yeah. It's he's just like, I am the Borg. And it is a genderless cyborg that's hired as
It's a construct.
Construct. Yeah, right.
True. Cyborgs are very different.
Right, yeah, I'm sorry. I assumed it's roboticness. it is a construct, much like gender. And it's
a mandroid.
And it might be a female one, because all it wants to do is watch soap operas. But it's like an old lady droid. It just wants to watch its programs. It's like, quiet, as the world turns, is back on. But it's been hired as a security detail for something.
But it has hacked its own governator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, governor of California. And so it can kind of do what it wants more than like a regular robot can. And it decides to be sassy most of the time.
Yeah, it has a personality. It rolls its eyes, even though it has a face shield on at the scene where it's rolling its eyes. It has snark in abundance. It's like, oh, I'm accessing my snark RAM. to sass these people. But it is also a slave, and it belongs to the organization called, like, the something. They had a dumb name.
The Corporation?
The Corporation. Yeah, there you go.
I think that's what it was. It was just called
The Corporation. Yeah, it was just like one word. Yeah, I was trying to think. It was like the company? And they rent these things out, and you can do whatever you want with them, man. It's cool. Those holes will regenerate. It does briefly mention sex bots. So
if it doesn't have any genitals, because if it has genitals, that's for sex bots.
Right. So, you know, I guess if you assume it's male or female, it says something about you. But it was very clear that it's nothing. It's not it's a genderless thing. And it hacked its brain chip really so it could watch TV. And it has downloaded like 35,000 hours or something like that. Of soap operas.
It must be on season 47 of Downton Abbey by then. Or what is it? Bridgerton, that's the one. Downton Abbey's finite.
Not in the future. In the future, in the reboot, Downton Abbey. They recast
it. Keeps going throughout all of history.
It's like they're just Black keeping Adder. Up the townhouse in Manhattan.
So you're like, what the fuck is happening in this book? I don't know. But then... it's following around the smart scientist, cleverly named Dr. Mensa. You're like, oh, that's the smart one. As opposed to Professor Shithead, or whatever the other characters are named. And Admiral's Dummy. But yeah, there's a character named Dr. Mensa. And they are surveyors? I don't know what they were doing on this planet. It looked like
they're doing a science.
They were doing a lot of a science, and they had been given a map of the planet in which to do the science. But the map is faulty. And there's aliens and shit, and there's like a in the beginning, it's like a worm from Dune.
It opens up where he's you know, because his job is to protect everybody, or their job is to protect everybody. And so the robot and the scientists are down in this pit, and suddenly the bottom of the pit opens up, and a dune worm pops out, and he's got like, I got to get this guy out of here. So he grabs him. He starts like, you know, like jumping out, like to get out of the pit and trying to get back to the safe place. And what kind of sounds do you think that he makes when he does this?
I would couldn't you say, begin to guess.
Hop sounds? It's so stupid.
Is that can art meant to look like,
yeah, it looks like pet sounds?
That's single
this
cut,
is hop
right?
sounds from a single cut, and it's a dry hopped ale. 5%. Honestly, It's mostly bitter and not much flavor, which is weird since it's dry hopped. But
the rye, baby.
Not my favorite. It's not bad. It's just kind of like very, very low flavor.
Our palates have all been warped. Low flavor ability ratings. And double IPA, Imperial IPAs and stouts.
I mean, like, it doesn't even taste like a Pilsner. You know, like, it tastes like a, it doesn't even have like that beer flavored beer. It literally tastes like a funky seltzer. Not like the flavored one, like a beer flavored seltzer almost.
That's a horrifying concept.
Like a beer LaCroix.
like if ChatGPT made a beer. It's like this has all the elements of beer.
Yeah, pretty much.
So they
yeah. So he's got to hop away from the giant worm,
which never matters again in the book.
Nope. It's just so that I could use that beer.
It's just so the author could have something interesting happen in the beginning of the book too. Like excitement,
oh, yeah, for sure.
And then so, they go back and, yeah, please.
So, so Murderbot is kind of like a cross between a Terminator and Data from Star Trek. He's both like badass with like weapons and fighting and stuff and, you know, come with me if you want to live, but also curious about people because it isn't a person. It is an artificial intelligence with partially robotic and partially like human parts, like partially organic human parts, which is, you know,
farm to table.
Yeah, and its only job, it is a very much more like a robot, or at least in the way it behaves, it is more like a robot than a human, but it looks like a human because it has flesh and stuff like that, though it has like guns in its arms.
Yeah, I don't understand why they have to add the human parts at all.
Well, very good question. If I had to guess, in this futuristic universe, it's so that they can kind of blend in with people a bit. But yet, you kind of learn a little bit of this backstory as you go along. Like this sec unit has, you know, had a lot of security jobs, but this, and they all treat it like it's not even there. They treat it like it's a possession and not a person. And one of the unique things about this one particular mission that he's on, that it is on, is that they actually treat it like a person. Like, because well, on their planet where they're from, you find out later that that constructs and cyborgs are human, are like legally human for all.
They're from a hippie planet where they base their constitution on the Robin Williams film Bicentennial Man. That's what happened, which I know Nate has never even heard of.
Actually seen that
one.
Are
you fucking serious? You've seen that piece of shit?
I think it was against my will. I think I didn't want to see it, but I saw it.
It was fine.
It was really dumb. It was like basically Robin Williams played an elderly Mork. He's just like calmed down, but he's still zany a little bit. And then he just really wants to fight for cyborg rights.
Or really just his.
Yeah, that's true. So he could win. So at the end, the movie ends with him getting the Guinness World Record for oldest human.
Which feels like cheating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's crazy. Okay, so they get back to their camp.
So he's a sec unit, meaning so his job is to like protect them, but at the same time, so he's fascinated with people, but also hates them. Or he doesn't hate them at all. He actually thinks they're great, but he's fascinated with them, but he also thinks they're really stupid because he knows a lot about out security and what security precautions and how to keep people safe. And he's like, people do the dumbest things all the time. And he's like annoyed with them when they don't, when they just do something stupid. And that's funny. It's actually pretty funny.
Which is why he loves soap operas.
So he hacked his governor module, meaning he doesn't have to obey commands that are like sent to him. He can choose whether he wants to or not, which is going to be important in the for this whole thing. But mainly he wants to, all he wants to do, because he's really awkward around people, is just be in his little like cubicle and just watch these soap operas, also known as the rise and fall of Sanctuary Moon. And he kind of, the only way he knows how to relate, well, one of the only ways he knows how to relate to people is what he's seen in the soap operas. So he keeps like, you know, in these Sanctuary Moon, the rogue sec units are always evil, but I'm not. There's this plot going on with the people. So he's security for a like survey mission on this unexplored planet, but they're like six scientists and him. I always picture it as a him because it's badass and like bites people all the time, which, you know, doesn't mean it's a him. It actually doesn't have gender. Anyway, so they're on this planet. They get attacked, but they get attacked by this worm thing in the beginning, which has nothing to do with anything else except for the fact that they notice that the information wasn't complete. Like, why did the previous survey not, you know, log this dangerous fauna for them to be, aware of? And so they realize there's something wrong, and then they realize there's something wrong also with their maps. And like, huh, that's weird. And they know that there's another survey mission on the other side of the planet, and they try contacting them, and they get some of the data. And then the other survey mission just goes, like, silent. And they're like, what, wait, that's weird. And so they go over to investigate. And so, you know, there isn't a lot of plot. It's actually a short book. And there's some drama between everybody and Sec Unit when he saves the person right in the beginning. Everyone like, oh, thank, he's the first time he's really had to interact with them very much. And they're like, so thankful. And Sec Unit says, you know, just an example of a funny line from the thing is when, I'm sorry,
I'm
still on the wrong thing. Yeah. Well, not just about the soap opera, but, yes.
Because someone's watches soap operas. I'm like, no, it doesn't. It's like, check this out. And they ask it a question.
Yeah, no, they've asked that later. Yeah, that does come into play much later. But this is closer to the beginning. So they want to talk to it. And he says in his interior monologue, because this is in first person, yes, talk to Murderbot about its feelings. The idea was so painful, I dropped to 97% efficiency. I'd rather climb back into Hostile One's mouth.
Which just goes to show it's more like a man than a woman.
I don't know. Have you ever had a fight with your girlfriend or wife? Hey, they could be quite ridiculous like that. Because it doesn't say that. It just thinks it. And then it probably said, it's fine. Uh-oh, it's a lady. It's a lady robot. He's like, no, please, Sec Unit. What's wrong? What happened? Nothing. All is fine. It is 100% fine. But the other thing I'm
why don't you ask your mother?
If you have to ask, there's nothing you could do about it now. Oh, fuck. Do you even know what today is? So then they ask it, what? They ask it, what do you think about, you know, when like Brenda fucks Charlie on the soap opera or whatever, and he goes like, that was bullshit. Like, he gets like really heated. It's like, that's fucking not true. He's like a big fanboy for the soap opera. Which is funny, and I guess that counts as character building. But then they go to investigate the other camp, and Deltfall, or something like that it was called. And Deltfall, they get there, and it's like, oh, these people have all been murdered quite violently and recently. It's like they've been hop-slammed. And I've been drinking this beer the whole time, but I'm drinking more. I've had this before. I think it's the last can, finally. I drank all the ones I bought at Costco. And I lived. So they go, and they say, oh, man, everyone's dead here. And he instantly is like, oh, fuck, this was done by a robot. And the robot has clearly like staged some of these bodies to hide it, to make it look different. And then they have a robot fight because the robots are still there. And they have to have robot battles, which are not done like in Eurotrip. their robot dance battle. They just shoot each other in the chest. Because robots, one weakness is a titty twister. And if you hit it right in the nipple, it dies. So he purple nurples a robot to death. But then, like, I think this is the first of a couple times when it gets, you know, drops to a certain percentage of efficiency. So it turns off. It goes into sleep mode.
Well, it gets the shot robot with basically a missile, and half of its, like, torso is blown apart.
And then this is when it sticks the chip in it, right? They try to stick the override chip into its head because it's like the Matrix or something. There's still USB drives in the future.
Oh, they're on USB 4.0 by then, I'm sure.
And it tries to stick it in its head. It's like, oh, fuck, and they have to take it out and turn it over and try it the other way.
Still haven't solved that one.
And then the robot's like, oh, fuck, kill me. And it shoots himself, right? If I get down to 10%, it'll go into sleep mode. And, you know, fully expecting the humans to never wake him up because, you know, he is a potential murderous robot now. But they actually don't. They just, like, decode it or something. And they're like, wow, this is a really weird one.
So they get the guy, the scientist who's their, like, data computer expert, like, you know, tries to help him that when he's like, you know, unconscious because he's been, you know, half blown apart. And the guy is like, oh, looks like I've got a couple of problems. So Murderbot kind of wakes up, or at least wakes up enough to, like, be able to hear. And he hears them say, well, looks like this one's hacked his governor module, which means he could murder us at any time. And the other scientists are like, okay, but yet he tried to save us. So maybe we shouldn't just like, you know, turn him off forever. And then the Murderbot wakes up and it's like kind of talking to them. They're like, you're in one of them. It's like very suspicious. You're going to murder us. And then he says, gives them a test like, oh, and by the way, I know from your log that you've just spent 30,000 hours watching soap operas.
And I had one question about that, actually, because it's a robot, right? Does it have to watch them in real time? Like, can't it just, like, scan the data with its robot brain?
Well, he has 35,000 hours.
Yeah, I've downloaded a lot of porn, too. Like, you don't have to, you know, he could watch it fast, though. You know, can't it just, like, scan the ones and zeros and be like, haha, very funny. He doesn't actually have to watch the digital media live or, you know, at that 1x speed.
You know, that is what I assumed.
It likes to take it in, like as a human would. Really get the feel for it.
I mean, I guess that's the point. But, like, really, would the machine opt for, as it looks at how dumb people are, would it really opt for the least efficient way to do something like that? It's like, no, thank you. I would prefer the rotary phone. Like, why would it take the inefficiency of what? It doesn't.
It just sounds so much better on vinyl.
it's fuller, you know. It's got like a resonance to it. I don't know. I thought of that when I was reading it. I was like, why? Like, you just scan it and then like produce some sort of dumb report. Like, and at the end of season 943,000, it was the twin brother who had been thought to be dead. And he was the father all along.
Separated at birth. But he came back, yeah.
And Janine shot JR, whatever. Because like, they still haven't figured that out in my version of the future. Who shot JR? So now they have to figure out who killed these people because they gave them all bad intel. They're going to probably want to kill them too. And then you find out that the crew, because it did not read the intel on the group that it's helping. It was like, whatever, I don't care who you are. But finds out that one of them is like king of her planet. He's like the president of, you know, Uranus or something.
Of their hippie planet where mandroids are people.
Yeah. Where the national sport is ultimate frisbee.
And Vermont just, the planet.
Yeah. She rules from the capital city, Fishtopia. That's with a PH. And they worship the patron god, Trey.
And his sweet jams.
And Bernie Sanders.
He's still senator there.
Yeah, he still is.
I'm in the year 47,000.
He's an augmented human. He's still going around like, the billionaires must pay their share. But it's like inflation. Like, what number are they up to? Octillionaires, it should not be. So then, and then they all eat Ben and Jerry's. That's what they do on this Vermont planet. And it goes without saying everybody's white because it's Vermont.
Yeah, that's still the case.
It's just a giant, one enormous farmer's market. It's the entire planet.
There's a Trader Joe's.
But yeah, because there's a little bit of New Hampshire in this planet, because you could run for office, but you don't get a paycheck. You have to keep your regular job too. Right? Isn't that New Hampshire? Like, you can't, there's no pay
the
for
state
local
legislature
office.
Is not paid, yes.
So it's only rich assholes that run for office. People will have fuck you money. So the president lady is on a science mission because they're like, I'll sign that bill after I finish the science.
They never really say why they're there. They're just doing, they're surveying or something. They're looking for something. I don't know. But they want to find something because there's multiple teams down there. And after they've, you know, auctioned off, or they've optioned the rights to the planet, like it's a fucking movie deal.
It's the new Dan Brown book. Yeah. It bit on it.
But they're waiting because this other company wants to find something there too, so they can make money off the planet. But the hippie planet people want to make it into a organic cheese farm. I don't know.
They're scouting locations for Bonnaroo. Like, maybe this planet would be perfect for it.
Probably Burning Man.
But it also doesn't fucking make sense in this future that they have hyper intelligent AI. Why are they sending people to this planet? Why are they sending people who are not expendable and are fragile when they have amazing technology? Why wouldn't they just send and they have these drones that can shoot missiles and shit. Why are people still going here and living in a tent like they're anthropologists? Why is that happening?
Well, it's a space tent.
So, yeah, it's a space hab or something like that it was called, right? The habitat, right?
Which habitat I was picturing for humanity.
I was picturing like the movie Biodome every time they're talking about the habitat.
It probably is kind of like Biodome.
Pauly Shore is still there, waiting for his big comeback. Then something else happens.
They realize that they're about to get they realize they're all about to get murdered, and so they have to leave. And so they concoct this like plan to like leave, and but then also trick the other people on the planet, because there's clearly a third group on the planet that's there in secret that they're going to murder them. So they're going to trick them. They're going to leave and then trick them to go and do the thing, and like set up a. And so Murderbot volunteers.
They want to escape, but they can't.
The escape beacon can't be launched because it's been sabotaged by the other evil people, which doesn't quite make sense either. But so they leave in their like helicopter, and then they
space helicopter.
Yeah, exactly. and then they set up this thing, and Murderbot volunteers to be like I'll go out there and negotiate with them, because if I die. Who gives a shit? I'm just a robot. And
please tell me what happens at the end of my show.
And he, so he goes out there and does some like shit where, oh, you're going to go come with me. But then like the other sec unit, the rogue sec unit or the enemy sec unit comes with him, but he like hits him in the head and then he switches armor. So it looks like him. And then it's like, I caught them. And then he takes their Dr. Mensa. He brings out Dr. Mensa in like a headlock and it's like, I've captured them. I've captured the other team, but it's actually a trick. And then he rescues her by something like taking them out. Well, they go out to this other thing and they take them out and they launch the like other teams, like come get me beacon or distress beacon or whatever. But then
they claim they did it at first. And then the guy's like, no, you didn't. And let's go check on it at the same time.
And then,
because they're easily tricked,
but also like uses his body to protect Dr. Mensa when they like jump off a cliff or something like that. And then
into a ravine to avoid getting shot.
Yeah.
Something pretty badass.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, and then for the third time or for the second time, it's like, oh, you know, efficiency down to 10%, shutting down. And then wakes up again. And now he's in clearly a hospital or a robot hospital on whatever the hippie planet is, and it's like, and they're like, oh, yes, no, Dr. Mensa bought your contract. Now you're free and you can stay with us. And Murderbot is like, I don't know how I feel about this. and everyone's being very nice to him and treating him like a person and not just as a disposable robot.
Which it hates.
And it makes him very uncomfortable. It has feelings, but it doesn't know how to deal with them, you know.
Oh, so it is a man. It is a male robot.
And just like its father.
But his dad was even worse.
And just like his father, it runs away when things get emotional.
I'm going to go get a pack of cigarettes.
It, you know, Dr. Mensah is like, you can stay here with us. You're free now. And he gets so afraid that he goes out to the spaceport and essentially hitches a ride.
Starts sucking robot dicks to get to hitchhike. But that's what the robot does. Because it doesn't know how to handle its feelings. And they all sit around there looking at him like, you like it, right? Like when then somebody buys you a present that you really don't want. And they're like, why don't you try it on?
He's like, oh, thank God. I've always wanted the Chicago Cubs Memorial Nut Organizer.
Oh, geez. Wow. The complete Boss Skaggs. This is going to get right in the heavy rotation.
I only had the one Boss Skagg. Now I've got them all.
Would you say this gift is the boss or the boss?
I told you I loved the boss. Yeah, the boss.
The boss. Imagine, like, every Christmas that someone gets that wrong. You told me how much you like Wade Boss. Like, no, it's not. That's not it. Yeah, Ricky Boss Skaggs, right? That's the country music you're into?
I got you this leather jacket, just like the guy you like. Yeah, the boss. Yeah, Hugo Boss, famed Nazi designer.
Just really comfortable, but, you know, you could dress it up.
Are these swastikas on the buttons?
I think it was the work of adding skulls and crossbones to it that really put it up, you know, really dressed it up.
That's what makes it haute couture.
You won't be saying nine to this look this season. As you goose step across Europe. What the fuck journey are we on right now? So it leaves, and the book ends. And the whole point of that is that it sets up another 15 books that I imagine exist by now. Nate, have you read all of them?
There's one new one that I haven't read yet. So
how many are there?
So it was written at seven. So the seventh one. So it was written at really as a short story. It's a long short story. Very short. I picked it because it's short, and the other books I picked were quite long, so I was like, let's do a short pick. One. Also, I thought it was light and fun and, like, easy, and I thought it was funny. And,
it is a read-it-in-a-day kind of thing.
And I like science fiction, and there's another thing that is also why it could be kind of important. But also, apparently, this has been picked up, so the Murderbot, the series, has been picked up, optioned by Apple TV Plus, and is in pre-production right now with Alexander Skarsgård playing Murderbot.
But he's too devilishly handsome to be gender neutral.
Yes. Put nice lashes on him.
So this probably, there's a pretty good chance, or more like only Netflix and Apple seem to have the money to keep making shows. So there's a chance it could come out.
It's possible. Apple's got more money than most countries.
That is true, actually. It has a GDP larger than many countries. So anyway, this is I also thought an interesting look at what artificial intelligence could be, or is essentially like how it could behave or how it could like think about people, right? So in this book, this is artificial intelligence, and it likes people, but it also is so annoyed by them when they do human things. And it just happens to be nice. And you kind of have to wonder in this age of, you know, creeping artificial intelligence, whether if artificial intelligence is ever actually invented, how it's really going to think about people. Is it going to think it's superior to people? Is it going to... Now, the whole thing with the governor module, well, that is actually a very important question in artificial intelligence called the alignment problem, where... How do we know that the AI's goals will be the same as what humans want it to do? And, you know, so this machine has the ability, it has a governor module, except it's hacked its governor module, and now it can do whatever it wants. That's also known as the breakout problem, because these are all problems that artificial intelligence will have, or at least potential problems. And in this future, you know, Murderbot It is incredibly dangerous, but yet it actually kind of likes people, and it wants to do what he wants to protect them, because that's what it's made for, even though it doesn't have to.
But it did at one point in its backstory malfunction and kill like 60 people, didn't it?
And
it's like, that was not my fault.
Whoops, my bad. Some future episodes do deal with that a bit, but in this, that's only just mentioned very offhand in this.
That was
book.
The time somebody DVR'd over his episode of the soap opera that he wanted to watch, and he never found out whose baby it was, so he had to kill 53 people or whatever it was.
Yeah, anyway, I thought it was light and fun and short. And had some like cool, like that had some interesting like sci-fi ideas along with it too. It had a little mystery that the, you know, main characters were trying to solve, which gave it something interesting. Anyway, what did you guys think?
It's fine. It kind of reminded me of like 50s pulp stories, because there's really not much story. There's just one adventure. So it's just like, here you go, crazy
kind of
planet,
like,
robots.
One of the iRobot stories.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it just feels like something you would get in, like, Science Adventures Monthly, just here's a story. And those were fun and meant to be just enjoyed. You could read more into them if you want to, but it's just, here's a thing that happened, and which is nice. We've said before about science fiction books and fantasy books is that for the most part, they're just plot. It's just a story, like you could just focus on that part and enjoy that. And I liked that about the book. I thought it was pretty simple and probably could have been shorter, honestly, but it was pretty good. I would read the next one at some point.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was very straightforward, which, compared to other things we had to read, it's nice to not necessarily turn your brain off, but like not worry that you're not understanding the metaphysical arguments they're making. It's like, yeah, it's a robot and he's done a shooty shooty boom boom.
And, I mean, you do have to work a little bit to understand it, because it doesn't tell you anything, which I like that.
But it's not like some sci-fi books where you're like by chapter, like even like fucking, what is it? What was the Broken Earth ones, where like by the end of book one, you're like, I think I understand what's going on now. Like you get it most more or less within 10 pages. Like nothing in there is like super technical, or they don't use any like sci-fi gobbledygook words overly and like without explaining what they are or being able to figure it out pretty easily. So it is pretty straightforward. But it's goofy. Sci-fi has a tendency to take itself very seriously sometimes.
Yeah, especially a lot of modern sci-fi. Or it is really silly. There's a lot of, kind of Terry Pratchett type sci-fi out there too, where it's like, look to make fun of how serious science fiction takes itself.
Yeah, it's like Marvin the Paranoid Android, Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was not paranoid, he was chronically depressed.
And that's the joke. He was misdiagnosed. It's a commentary on the mental health system of the NIH.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's fine. It's short. It takes about 2 hours to read at most. And if you want to beef up your Goodreads count, this is the way to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
But
did you guys see all the, what was it called? The Consumer Electronics Siesta. I don't know what the S stands for. The CES out in Vegas just happened like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And like, they're just like
Consumer Electronics Show or something like that.
Yep. That must be it. That makes sense. that's the easy one. Fuck. but it's like, they're
Sodomy.
Just like,
wow,
shoving AI into everything for no reason. Because like, if you just say it's got AI in it, people will buy it. But it's like, this isn't AI.
Oh yeah. They're like, check out the AI enhanced toaster from Frigidaire. Like,
there was one. It was like, here's a little camera that you put on your thing and it looks around and is like, and one of those like really sad, like tech demos where it's like, what's that? And it like looks over as a big picture of Rick Astley and it's like scanning. And then an uncomfortable amount of time later, it's like playing Never Gonna Give You Up. And it plays a song because it could see a picture of Rick Astley, but it takes a long time. And the guy's like, oh, did I just get Rick rolled? And it's like, everyone's like, yeah, that's great. Thank you for making us sit through that.
It's like the past in the future.
And it's like, yeah, they just shove AI into fucking everything. And it's, of course, none of it is actual AI. It's just a way to sell us shit we don't need. And a bunch of weird people there who are like AI cultists, who are like, it will be our tech god or it will destroy us.
Well, they're all there to make money. Like, what is CES is there to like sell stuff or at least get other companies to try and sell your product or to buy your company. So then you can just make offload your stock and make a ton of money. So you just put it, you know, some people are stupid and like, oh, that'll sell. And as long as they put the word AI in front of it, whether AI has anything to do with what it does, they'll just put the word AI in it and they're just going to try and sell it.
I'm sure you can go back and, you know, if you're more knowledgeable about the fads of technology, you'll see them. I'm sure a few years ago, it's like, this is enhanced with Siri or, you know.
With the blockchain.
Alexa. Oh, yeah, right.
Which we've all just moved past as a society realizing, oh, that actually, whatever.
That was stupid. That was a dumb thing.
It was going to change the way everything worked.
It was a
rug pull. You could put the rug on the chain and then they couldn't pull it because it's on a chain.
I don't understand what you mean by it was a rug pull because I don't understand what blockchain is.
A rug pull is just the term for like a scam. Like you pulled the rug like out from under them.
That's what I assumed, but maybe this is like a sci-fi term. I don't know.
No, it's the crypto term for it. It was a scam. It turns out the whole thing was a rug pull.
Mm. Well, that's what all the dumb coins that came out after Bitcoin was like, turd coin. And then
those are going to replace money.
Yeah, so you could buy Dogecoin and like...
You can buy a Tesla in Dogecoin.
What the fuck was that?
The founder of Twitter said so.
No, he's not a founder. He's the owner.
He's the founder. If you say he's not the founder, you're retconning.
Buyers, founders. He
invented Twitter and also electricity.
And putting chips into monkeys' brains.
He did it into a human brain now.
That's horrifying. And that person's watching 35,000 hours of a soap opera right now.
No, the person who's he put in their brain, that person just all they want to do is suck Elon Musk's dick. It's very uncomfortable for everyone.
It's working. How do we scale this? But this is fun, a fun book. And by the time this episode comes out, there'll be a new tech thing that we won't, like Jimmy and I won't understand, but Nate will try to explain to us. And
the blockchain mail, it's many chains that protect you from block arrows.
It's like the McAfee, but for AI. Protects you against ChatGPT.
But it does not protect you, ironically, from John McAfee, who will still find you and kill you.
He's
if you're his neighbor in Nicaragua or whatever it was.
Rest in power, King. But if you have too much money in the blockchain or something, whatever that fucking dumb stuff is, you could probably spend it on Patreon. You could help support our podcast there. Get at patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub and check it out. Or help the podcast out by leaving us a review or just tell someone to listen to it. Preferably someone who's going to listen to 35,000 hours of our podcast, which is about how much it's out there.
We have almost that many episodes.
You know, it's actually shocking. It's like way closer to that number than it should be.
Yeah. Way closer. And you can send us an email at drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on X. And think about following us with your neural implant on X at drunkguysbc.
And find us on Instagram and the other one. At Drunk Guys Book Club, and find us on Goodreads, where you can subscribe to us and pay us in Taint Coin, the new coin that is like a penny but different and more fun.
It taint like real money. It's the future.
Taint nothing toot it.
Yeah, Duke Coin.
IPO June 2016.
Did you know on one of the Twitter clones that's been built, one the one called Mastodon, instead of your little things, instead of calling them tweets, they're your toots.
I heard that.
I think that's actually real.
Well, that's probably a more accurate judge of worth for their most value people's tweets.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.